Hey there, welcome to this episode of What's the Truth? I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today is line number 26. My worth is found in my body. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. We have a special guest, Laura Schoenfeld. She's a registered dietitian, coach, women's health expert that's trained in functional medicine, nutrition therapy. And we really dive into this idea that how easy it is for us, especially as women, to put all of who we are into our body. And she shares her personal story, but we also go into one of my favorite topics is that it's really easy for us to take a diagnosis and let it become our identity versus maybe for some of us, it's more of a symptom, but we tend to carry it around as identity. So we go deep into that. And so if you have ever found yourself being tied into what your body looks like, what it weighs, and all the things, then this episode is for you. So stay tuned. Laura, thanks so much for being here. I'm so glad that you're here to really just share your wisdom. I love your heart for the truth, but also for the wholeness that you want to bring into women's life. So I'm so glad that you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jessica.
So our live today is all about my worth is found in my body. So can you tell listeners maybe why are you passionate about bringing truth to this lie? Like what fires you up about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different angles that I could take with that question. I'd say the two major angles that I tend to take with it is either the belief as women, especially, that our worth is found in our appearance and our attractiveness and what our bodies look like. And then there's the other side of that that I tend to see as a healthcare provider where women are starting to believe that their worth is found in how healthy they are, how fit they are, you know, how active and you know, how what their healthy diet looks like. A lot of their identity is starting to be found in the behaviors that they're doing to pursue health. So I feel like with that lie, I do think that for, I mean, pretty much all of human history, even, you know, thousands of years ago, women have been in this position where we are treated as second-class citizens a lot of the times, and our worth by society is actually defined as how beautiful we are, how whatever the appropriate body type is at that time of society, you know, could be really skinny, could be more voluptuous, could be like, you know, Kardashian-shaped body, whatever it is, society tends to put a lot of stock in women's appearance, sex appeal, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, I do find that a lot of women, even Christian women, have bought into that belief that the way that they look, the way that their body, you know, their weight, their size, the shape of their body, or even the health of their body now is something that defines who they are, defines their value, and defines their worth, because they're listening to the lies of society.
So how did you get started then? Like, how did you get, what made you start this idea of I'm going to help women not find their worth here? And what is it that gets you excited about the profession that you're in right now?
Yeah. So it's definitely a long story and I'll give you the nutshell version. Growing up, particularly in high school, especially with changes that happen with a woman's body, totally normal. I had a lot of self-consciousness about my appearance, whether that was, you know, in middle school being made fun of for not having any curves at all, versus in high school when I did finally develop curves, then it was like now, you know, being ridiculed for the size of my butt or something like that. And I feel like I was a very self-conscious child in general growing up. I was not raised in any sort of spiritual or religious belief. And so a lot of my identity was coming from what the world said about me. And that could be literally people in school saying things, or it could just be that general sense of what society deems valuable when it comes to women. So I had a lot of that growing up. And then in college, I was an athlete generally, you know, middle school, high school. And then into college, I was on the volleyball team. And going up into collegiate athletics, my exercise and training routine significantly increased. My whole lifestyle changed, and I ended up losing about 30 pounds going from senior year of high school to freshman year of college. And there was this shift in how people treated me when I was in college. So I was in a sorority. I had my first boyfriend. I had all this attention from people that probably would have never given me attention in high school. And again, not really having any sort of strong sense of identity in anything other than society, I made the connection that me losing weight, me being more attractive, me having that more, societally approved body was what made people want to be friends with me, made men interested in me, that kind of thing. So that was my experience. And it kind of turned into this thing where I was constantly trying to either maintain the body that I had gotten or improve it. I don't think I was ever at a place in that time where I was fully satisfied with my physique, even though looking back at photos, I mean, I don't think I could have gotten much leaner without it creating health problems. And so a lot of my 20s were spent focusing on my body, my physique, how lean I was. And it was under the guise of being interested in health. And as I started learning more about health, I was in college for psychology, and I ended up doing a lot of education on health psychology. And then I went to grad school for nutrition and public health because I was interested in nutrition and dietetics and all of that. It started to transition more into dogma around specific dietary recommendations. So I was super into the paleo world, ancestral health, all of these things regarding, you know, low carb diets and ancestral eating and all of that. And so underneath, it was still about appearance and weight and wanting to lose weight and being obsessed with, you know, what my body looks like, how it functions, and just having that sense that like my body is something that demands all of this attention and focus. And all of that changed, or at least it started changing when in 2012, I decided to become a Christian. I had always believed in God, but some stuff happened in 2012 that I basically hit rock bottom with my self-image and was like realizing at that point that a lot of my self-image was coming from other people's opinions and, you know, if I was in a relationship or not, what men thought of me, that kind of thing. And so that rock bottom experience led me to Jesus, essentially. And I started to really question a lot of what I was believing about my body, about my self-worth, about, you know, why I'm here, you know, where my confidence comes from, all of that. And so that was 8 years ago at this point. And over the last 8 years, as my faith has grown stronger, I have started to be a lot more discerning about things in the health and wellness space that are either, you know, accurate and based on good evidence that our bodies were designed in a certain way and there are certain practices that can help steward our health well, versus those behaviors and activities and beliefs that are still rooted in diet culture, you know, getting our self-worth from the way that we look. So the last couple of years have really been spent trying to understand better how to use what we know about nutrition and fitness and, you know, physiology and human health and all of that in a positive way without it turning into something that creates a false identity or creates a lot of fear for the people that feel like they're not measuring up in that world. So it's definitely been a long journey for me to get to this place. And I know there's still a lot for me to learn about how to effectively navigate this kind of crazy world of, you know, diet culture on one hand, and then the whole like health at every size beliefs on the other hand. And so I'm at a place where my goal is to help women understand, yes, there are some practices that will help your body function better. That's not where your self-worth comes from. And it's not where your peace and your comfort comes from either. And we cannot ignore the way that our minds and our spirits affect our overall health as well, whether that's what we're telling ourselves, the kind of negative self-talk that a lot of women experience, or our ability to trust God with our bodies, with our health, and with our future. So it can get very complicated sometimes, but I think it can also be pretty simple when it comes down to understanding the difference between stewarding your health well as a way to honor the body that God gave you versus turning your body into an idol and believing that the way that you look or the way that your health is the most important thing about you.
You know, I think we can all relate to that story, to your story specifically about, you know, when we put all of who we are into what we weigh. And so did you have a moment where you can remember that transition happening from where you're like, okay, even though I know Christ now, was there a moment or like a workout or it's, you were doing something where you just at this moment, you're like, okay, I'm putting my identity in my body again. And how do I put it into Christ?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can say there was a specific moment per se, but I think one of the big factors that pushed me along this path even harder is my experience working with clients. So over time, as I've developed my skills as a coach and worked with hundreds of people over the last 7 years of, you know, serving clients, working one-on-one with people that I work with as a nutritionist and health consultant, it's almost like you start to see people that are so deep in it and how much it's ruining their life. It kind of makes you start to evaluate your own situation more. You know, it's almost like if you were friends with someone who's an alcoholic and you're like, oh wow, like alcohol's really, really damaging their life. It might make you start to evaluate your own relationship with alcohol and might make you start to think, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be drinking, or maybe, you know, if I'm going to drink, I should just have a glass of wine and not, you know, have multiple drinks in a night. Like, it's just seeing the damage that that thing can cause to other people can help you start to like look at yourself and say, am I letting this damage myself the way that it's damaging these people that, you know, I am interacting with all the time. So I feel like for me, just working with so many people who their whole lives were wrapped around their weight or their health, or, you know, if somebody's not a Christian, a lot of times, a lot of the focus is on like longevity and preserving their lifespan and being basically afraid of death. And I just, over time, after working with so many people, I just didn't think it was the way that we were created to live. And I really started to feel like there's got to be more to life than this. And even if I'm not experiencing that level of suffering, the fact that there are so many people experiencing that suffering means that something's going on from a societal perspective that's creating that. And I want to figure out, what role do I have to play in dismantling that? So I think for me, once I got out of that whole focus on my body and focus on self and focus on, you know, trying to prove my worth, it really turned into more of a recognition of how pervasive this is in our current society, how much this really can negatively affect a person's life, and realizing that this does not stop just because you're a Christian, right? Like, just because somebody is a Christian does not mean that they're not believing this stuff, or that they're not operating under the same behavioral guidelines, or they're not being, you know, influenced by social media or what the news says about health. So just recognizing how deep the problem was and how, you know, I really feel like from a spiritual perspective, this is one of the avenues that Satan uses to actually prevent women from really having any sort of impact on the world or serving other people or, you know, having peace in their relationships, anything like that. So once I started to kind of see the more sinister side of all of this stuff, I was like, I really think this is something nobody else is talking about, or maybe, you know, I know that other people are, and I've been able to connect with some awesome people like yourself. But when I first started talking about it, it really was this stepping out in faith, believing that God was revealing this stuff to me for a reason, not just for my own sake, but also because I was being called to lead others in this way. So I know that was a really long answer to a very simple question, but I wouldn't say there was like this light bulb moment of like, oh, this is, you know, this is all wrong and I need to completely shift my way of thinking. It was definitely a transition that turned from being focused on healing my own mindset around it to then realizing like, wow, there are so many people that struggle with this, and I have this opportunity to help others at a deeper level than just telling them, here's what you should be eating, or here's how you should exercise.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I think it's great that you pointed out though, that even in my own journey, it wasn't this pivotal, like I had a moment where I knew what I was doing, but I didn't change right away. And I think it happens with that transition because, you know, patience matures us. And the more we mature in Christ, the more we become like him, right? Because we learn about him. And I think that it's really easy for us to come sometimes just think that it has to happen. Okay, I recognize this. And then if I'm not over it by like next week, then I'm just never going to get over it, right? Like, it's just knowing that it's sometimes just this progression of awareness that can bring healing. And so what's maybe like one or two practical examples that you might see this? Because people probably don't come to you and go, Laura, I have all my worth in my body. Help me. So mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we can have a starting point of, you know, I'm not putting my worth in my body, but maybe somebody that's listening, because we're going to talk about how to practically walk through it. But how about we help people maybe recognize if they are? Can you think of some things that your clients come to you that you're like, oh, triggered, this is maybe where they're putting it?
Yeah, I mean, just from the most simple perspective, I would say if thinking about your weight or your body or your health creates negative emotion or negative self-talk, that's pretty much the red flag right there. Because if we're looking at our bodies the way that I believe God wants us to look at our bodies, we can look at them objectively. We can make objective decisions about how we're going to approach our diet, our exercise routine, our sleep habits, all the things that we know, yes, we were created to live a certain way. And we're in a society now that makes it harder for us to, you know, eat good quality food, to get movement throughout the day. There are choices we have to make that are against what's easy, against what our lives are set up to, you know, allow for. But if you're having anxiety and, you know, talking down about yourself or saying things like, oh, I'm so stupid for eating that, or, you know, whatever kind of things that are coming out of your body and like the way that you perceive your body, if any of that is negative, then I think we can say that there's an issue with identity and self-worth coming from your body.
No, that's good. That is, it is really easy. And I'm sure people are like, yes, that's me. Hand raised.
Well, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm some like, you know, saint here. Obviously I feel like I've come an extremely long way from where I used to be, but yeah. There's still times where I have these thoughts sometimes, like even just recently, I've been a little limited for a variety of reasons from exercise because of some stuff going on in our world, as well as just my own personal life. I was sick for a while and I was traveling. And so just the last month in general, I've hardly really been able to exercise. And big surprise, your body changes a little bit when you haven't been exercising. And there are times where, you know, I have the thought of, oh, I'm like losing my muscle mass, or I'm getting a little, you know, softer on my midsection. Maybe I should do something about that. So it's not like a situation where I'm berating myself, but the fact that those thoughts even come up and they are based in this, like, I would be happier if I didn't have this, or I would, you know, like to have those muscles. I know that that's still operating out of an identity issue. It's like, you know, 99% improved over what it used to be, but I don't want people to think that this is something that you just like flip a light switch and all of a sudden you never think about your body.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say that so nobody feels any guilt or shame or anything about how they feel. That said, if you are not catching that immediately and saying, no, that's not how I want to think, I'm going to like, you know, cancel that, let that, you know, not be the way that I'm thinking about my body, or, you know, I'm not going to let that affect my emotions or my peace or anything. If you are starting to have thoughts spiraling about, you know, oh, I'm getting a little fluffy, or I'm like, I feel really out of shape, or like whatever kind of negative things that people can start to think about themselves, if that then starts to create feelings of, you know, negativity about yourself, about your body, about, you know, oh, I'm such a, you know, lazy person, or whatever kind of thoughts might be coming up, that allowing that to continue is a sign that you need a lot more work in that area and a lot more focus. Mm-hmm. So I actually think this, the evidence that you are doing well in that area is not that you never have these thoughts. It's about how those thoughts affect your state of mind, your emotions, even your behavior. Because, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm getting kind of fluffy, and then you're like, I'm going to go for a run every day this week for 10 miles in response to that, that's a behavior that's coming from fear that, you know, if you had gained weight, that that's a problem. So all of that to say, like I said, I'm not expecting anyone to get to a place where they never think anything negatively about their body, because that's kind of unrealistic, I would say. The thing you want to be paying attention to is, how much time do you spend thinking those thoughts? And do you let those thoughts start to ruminate? Do you let them create negative emotions? Do you let them distract you from bigger picture things in your life? Do you let them distract you from your purpose? All of those things are more of a sign that this is really something you're hinging your identity on, as opposed to a sign that we live in a fallen world. We ourselves are sinful. Like we're not perfect. So we're going to sometimes, fall back into old habits, or we're going to have some old thoughts that might resurface. And those thoughts resurfacing is not a sign that you have a problem per se. It's more of a sign that, hey, this is still something that you got to be vigilant for.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. And I think how quickly, like you said, we recover. I think it's just the awareness, because I let out of fear a lot. Like mine was fear. I mean, of course it was identity, but it was like, oh man, something's happening in my body. I have to now do something because something else is happening, right? It's like cause effect. It's something's happening. I got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I use that analogy right, but that's okay. Something that I want to talk about next is really important in my heart. And I see it all over social media, especially where we just identify so much with a diagnosis about who we are. You know, we see it in bios all the time. You know, I am this, thyroid, I have Hashimoto, like I am Hashimoto's basically. And we just start to relate to like all of these diagnoses, and they become who we are. And then we actually live from that place. Mm-hmm. And you created a post on Instagram and it said, anxiety is a symptom. It's not your identity. And I was just like, yes, girl, keep preaching, because you went into the post to explain that yes, anxiety is something that is common in our lives because we're fast paced and, we're dealing with things, and it's not to shame us that if we have anxious thoughts, right? But we are not our anxious thoughts. And I think that's what's happening, is that we're kind of normalizing anxiety versus saying it's common to experience, and there's a really big difference in that, because scripture is clear about fear, anxiety, worries, cares, all of those things. So we obviously know that they're not from Christ or God. And so can you just kind of explain that a little bit more in depth about your heart behind that?
Yeah. And actually, I think you mentioned something before asking this question that I want to touch on that also relates to this question. So it's very appropriate. I am not of the opinion that, and I do find that this can be kind of common in the Christian community. I don't think that this is how you think, but I know that people in my life sometimes think this way. My husband sometimes thinks this way, which is always a little bit of a source of conflict. I don't want people to think that if you are having a health problem or a health symptom, that the answer is to just ignore it, right? Like I do really believe that there are behavior changes, habit changes that can help resolve certain symptoms. If somebody is struggling with being at a heavier weight than they're physically comfortable being, there are lifestyle changes that can potentially affect that. So I don't want people to think that what I'm saying is, oh, anytime you think anything about your body that you want to change, just like, don't think about that thought, because I do think there can be opportunity, whether it's a weight concern or if it's a health concern, like if you're having digestive symptoms or you're having hormonal symptoms, you don't need to just brush that off and say, I'm just going to ignore it because I don't want to have negative thoughts about my body. So the reason why I bring that up is because anxiety is a great example of it's kind of this weird condition where it's both physiological and it's mental. And I think we need to be really careful as Christians to not tell people that the only thing that's involved with anxiety is their thoughts, because there's a lot of other things that can affect it. And I want to empower my clients, the people in my audience, to be aware of the things that could be influencing their physical health. So anxiety, a great example is, if you're drinking too much caffeine, that could be something contributing to anxiety. If you're not getting enough sleep, if you are not getting any exercise, or if you're exercising too much, if you're not eating enough calories, or if you're not getting enough carbs, there's so many things that, like, you might be making behavior choices or taking actions that actually are creating your body's physiological response as mm-hmm. anxiety. And we yeah. need to be aware of that, because yes, I believe in prayer. I believe in changing your thoughts. I believe in monitoring your thoughts. But at the end of the day, if you have 6 cups of coffee during the day and you're feeling anxious because of that, I'd rather you focus on reducing caffeine intake and not worry so much about, you know, trying to pray away the caffeine overdose. So I want to make sure people know that it's okay to pay attention to symptoms. It's okay to question why they might be happening. It's okay to investigate solutions. In fact, I think it's great to investigate solutions because I don't think, you know, we're designed to just live in discomfort and pain and any of those symptoms that are coming up. All of that said, we also have to be very mindful of the mental and emotional stimulants of anxiety. And sometimes you could be doing everything right with your physical health choices, your diet, your exercise, your stress management, well, really more sleep and everything like that. But if you're allowing yourself to focus on thoughts that are creating anxiety, then we have to be really mindful of those too. So I'm not going to go into specifics, but you know, at the time of this recording, there's a lot going on in the world that is giving a lot of people anxiety. And I have definitely had to battle that myself. I tend to be prone to anxiety as a just physiological response to poor lifestyle changes, as well as not doing good thought management. And I've had to be very, very self-aware of the choices that I can be making during this time that either are contributing to anxiety or helping eliminate anxiety. So again, I do think that we want to make sure we're not just sweeping the symptom under the rug or saying like, oh, God, I'll make that go away. If the choices that we're making about how we treat our bodies or how we treat our minds or what we're allowing into our minds, all of that needs to be dealt with. And, you know, we need to have self-awareness there. All of that said, I think that there are people, like I used to be one of these people, and it's honestly something that I really do my best to not fall back into this. And I work with clients who have said this to me before. There are a lot of people out there that self-identify as an anxious person, right? So if you say, I am someone who's anxious, I am someone who has anxiety, I'm someone who, you know, reacts with anxiety to things. Anything that comes after that statement, I am, is an identity statement. So if you say, I'm just an anxious person, essentially what you're telling your brain and your body is that anxiety is a normal response to life. It's a normal response to food choices, to exercise habits, to sleep habits, to, you know, what we're using for entertainment, social media, that kind of thing. Me being anxious is just the way I am. And that is something that, first of all, I think really affects our ability to be rational and make positive choices that could help change that physiological state. And it's also something that creates, you're basically telling your brain how to react. When you call yourself an anxious person, you are telling your brain, reacting with anxiety is my baseline. And so anything that's happening that I think, you know, even nowadays, some of the stuff that's happening, there is a lot of stress and there is a lot of uncertainty, and it could be considered fairly common to react with an anxious response. But if you're somebody who says, I'm an anxious person, reacting with anxiety is just going to be like, that's just me. That's just what I do. And you're going to just kind of accept it as normal. Whereas if you're someone, and this is how I try to behave, if you're someone who recognizes your tendency towards anxiety and your body being a little bit more sensitive, and I definitely acknowledge that my nervous system, it tends to react more strongly to things like caffeine, like, you know, lack of sleep, hunger, that kind of thing. I have to be a little bit more mindful about choices because of that. Like, I'm not going to have caffeine at 10 o'clock at night because I know that that'll get me all revved up and, affect my sleep and whatnot. However, I'm not going to just let an anxious response be normalized. If I'm having an anxious response to something that, even though realistically, you know, I could logically say, oh, being stressed about this is totally understandable, if I just let that happen, then it's creating a pattern that my brain is just going to fall into no matter what's happening. So what I try to do practically is recognize, okay, I'm having anxious thoughts about this. Yes, this is a serious situation. And yes, it's something that I probably need to be making some decisions around and taking seriously. But what is creating the anxiety right now in this position? A lot of times it's that I'm focusing way more on what the world is saying about something than what God might be saying. A lot of times it's because I'm spending time, you know, looking at what's going on externally versus spending time in the Word. I know a lot of times it comes down to, you know, am I praying? Am I worshiping? If that stuff starts to fall away, then the anxiety response definitely comes back into play. So when I'm having an anxious thought about something, again, my first thought is, okay, am I just having a physiological reaction because I'm hungry or tired? Or like, is there something that my body needs right now to help me not feel anxious? And then if that's not the case, thinking, okay, what are the habits mentally that I'm doing that might be contributing to this anxiety? And what are some things that I can change there? And generally that always comes back to more of a spiritual anxiety, right? It's like, okay, if I just was scrolling through my news feed on Facebook and people are all talking about like current events happening in a sense of being afraid, yeah, it actually makes sense that that would create anxiety. Why don't I shut off Facebook? Why don't I go like, you know, read the Bible or listen to some worship music or take a walk or something? Why don't I change the environment that I'm in and I will remove myself from the things that are creating that anxiety? So all of that's to say, if we just identify as someone who's anxiety, first of all, we're speaking that over ourselves and we're telling our brains and bodies that's who we are and that's how we react. And it's also dulling our ability to really self-diagnose what the root of that symptom is. So I really do believe anxiety is a symptom, and it can be a symptom of physical problems. It can be a symptom of mental and spiritual problems. And if we can remove that identity from anxiety to really just say, hey, this is a symptom, then we can start to say, well, what's the root of this symptom and what do I need to do differently to help pull that root out? And like I said, it can really depend on the person what that might be, but just being aware of the things that do create anxiety and being mature about it and saying, okay, maybe I need to delete Facebook off my phone. Maybe I need to, like, you know, stay off the news for 24 hours, something like that. It's being able to actually resolve the problem. And I think God gives us discernment to do that, right? Like, and that's where prayer can come in. We can ask him to show us, like, what do I need to do differently? What do I need to change? Do I need to trust you more? Do I need to, like, remove myself from influences that are creating this fear? And again, it just gives us the opportunity to actually take action on the things that are creating that symptom rather than just accept it as being part of our identity. Hmm.
No, that's good. And I'm with you on, I'm all about spirit and soul and body, meaning we have to address it as a whole. And I would never tell somebody to ignore something and just be like, cause I'm all about, I hate the faith band-aid. Like, I'm not all about just, you know, putting a band-aid on it and then just hoping that something happens. And I think there are definitely means of healing. We have one healer who came to take our healing, but we also have to cooperate with that, right? Like, we don't just get to sit back and just like, not change anything or change our thoughts. But the reason why I quote that scriptures of, and the fact that he tells us, I think that what I'm saying is that it's not a place that we get to live. Mm. Right. It's like, he says all throughout scripture that we don't have to fear. It doesn't mean that fear isn't going to come or things that we're not going to experience it. He's telling us and reminding us over and over that this isn't a place that we get to live. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what I was trying to address before you kind of really gave that example of steps and processes, is that understanding that you might have these feelings come up, but they are a symptom of something else that's going on inside of you. Mm-hmm. I always call them like red flashing lights or like, you know, the yellow lights. It's like, slow down, you know, mm-hmm. it's, that's really what I feel like our bodies are telling us, because I went through my own healing journey. And if I were to ignore all like the spiritual side, the physical side and the emotional side, I wouldn't have been able to be where I am today. Cause I had it me for me personally, I think it starts with the spiritual, because everything comes from our mind in a sense, right? Like we can, our trauma, our healing, which can have chronic, you know, illness, which can create chronic anxiety, you know, of just surroundings. And so I'm with you 100% on just the wholeness in itself. But to me, we have to start spiritually first and go down, because we have to work on what we're actually holding, like our position of our hearts, so that we can begin to even acknowledge, right? Like, what is it that's going on inside of me? What am I kind of like, are we being good stewards of our body? Mm-hmm. Right? And so I'm 100% with you on that. And so you kind of already gave a lot of practical tips too, of, you know, getting to the root understanding maybe the mental side or the physical side as well. And so what would you want people to really take away from this lie? Like, what truth do you want them to stand on moving forward?
Yeah. So, and again, it's one of these complicated things where I believe in miraculous healing, and I believe that, you know, God can do anything. So, you know, if somebody were to pray to release anxiety and that was all that they needed to do, awesome. Like, I believe that that's totally possible. And I also recognize that there are a lot of choices that we make in our day-to-day life that can contribute to those kind of symptoms. Again, like, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I work with so many women that have no idea what they need to eat to fuel their body. And they're busy, they're taking care of their families, they're distracted, there's a lot going on. They end up under eating, and then their blood sugar drops, and that actually creates anxiety as a side effect. And so sometimes I'm not trying to de-spiritualize anything, but, you know, cause we want to be careful about over spiritualizing and under spiritualizing, right? Like, I don't want people to think that the only solution to these symptoms is to pray about it, because I think God has given us brains and given us science, and like, we have an understanding of how the body works. And we also don't want to be like neurotically trying to, you know, micromanage our choices on the other side and ignore all the spiritual element. Sometimes it really is like, hey, you're just hungry and you just need to eat a meal, and that will make you feel better. So yeah. I actually think of it as like a circle, right? It's not like one is more important than the other, or like, you know, that they, you know, I'm trying to think of how to explain it. Like, everybody's got to know what their own needs are, right? And mm-hmm. sometimes it's more physical, sometimes it's more spiritual, sometimes it's spiritual then guides the physical. Sometimes the physical can help guide the spiritual. Because again, if you're malnourished, your brain's not going to be like fully functioning the way it could be. And it's hard to be spiritually engaged when you're hungry, right? So I think we just need to look at it holistically and think like, it could be either, it could be both. And God can tell us that, right? Like, God can give us discernment, give us spiritual like direction, give us nudgings. He can help us make the decisions about what's the step I need to take, whether that's you need a snack, you need a nap, or you need to go spend an hour listening to worship and singing. And like, He can tell us what to do. So yes, I think prayer is going to be a big part of it, because again, He knows more than we do what we need. And being able to really fine tune that spiritual discernment to say, what is God telling me I should be doing about this? Because again, it's so often it really is a combination. It's rare that it's just food or it's just prayer that you need. A lot of times it's like, what is my body, mind, and spirit all need together right now? But just starting to think about, again, if these thoughts come up that are negative about our bodies, negative about our health, noticing that as a red flag. And then physically, if you're having symptoms, it's still a red flag, but it's thinking about what could possibly be contributing to this, and thinking about what actions can I take that will help eliminate the actual source of this symptom that I'm having. So again, if you've eaten enough that day, if you've gotten sleep, if you, you know, have gotten some movement and you've gotten outside a little bit and you're like, I'm still feeling anxious, it's probably spiritual. If you are trying to pray and your stomach's growling or your head's feeling kind of foggy and you're like, I can't even focus right now because, oh my gosh, the last meal I had was 7 hours ago. I'm going to go have some food and maybe that'll help. And if it doesn't, I'll go back to the prayer. So I think it's just using the full collection of tools that we've been given as humans, as people who, you know, God created us in His image. We have the ability to discern the right steps and the ability to communicate with Him as believers to get actual, you know, God's guidance on those choices, and recognizing that you're not less spiritual if you focus on your body. You're not more spiritual if you're, you know, thinking about prayer as being the solution, and really just dropping all the judgment that we have about our choices and about our, you know, the way that we proceed, and trusting that God's going to guide us to the right solution. And if we're trusting in Him, we should be seeing progress in our health, in our minds, in our, you know, our thoughts, in the way that we think about our bodies. And He's going to guide us to the solutions that we need from a health perspective. So, you know, trusting Him and knowing that, yes, He can heal miraculously. Also, He provides helpers like you and me, people that have the knowledge to help other people figure out what might be going on, and just not shutting off avenues that you could be using to really be holistically well. Because at the end of the day, I really believe the purpose of being holistically healthy in all areas is so that we can better serve other people. So if our health, if our mindset, if our anxiety is stopping us from doing the things that we feel like God has called us to do, we need to get that right so that we can then really live out the purpose that God has given us. So, and I know that was like a really, really long-winded, maybe not even answering the original question that you asked, but I don't know. I work with so many people that are either Christian and are not using their faith the way that they could when it comes to their health. I work with non-Christians who don't even know that that's an option or a solution. And then I have a lot of Christians in my life that I love that kind of turn a blind eye to their choices and their habits and, you know, what they're eating and their exercise routine and all that. And I just feel like God didn't create us to just focus on one way of living. He created all of this for us, and we can take advantage of everything from the belief that God's in control and he's guiding us along the way.
Yeah. I think that for me, even when I say spiritual, is that, well, Christ is always my foundation though. Cause if we have the mind of Christ, spirit to spirit, we get to go to him in truth. And so for me, when I would look at my symptoms though, I would come from fear. And so when I would start looking at everything without the foundation of Christ, even though I was acknowledging my symptoms, if I didn't have Christ, I would be operating in fear.
Gotcha.
And yeah. So that's really, when I say spiritual for me, I believe my clients have to start with that spiritual level, is that then we can look at symptoms and things that we're experiencing, not from a place of fear, but from a place of understanding. Mm-hmm. Because when I realized that, okay, so say I'd wake up and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really tired today. It must be my adrenals. When really I could take rational then and not place fear in it and go, Jess, you probably just need more sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where then I can start to look at things very subjectively more than emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to acknowledge, Jess, you probably need to eat today. Why do you feel so brain foggy at 5? You haven't ate since lunch, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, the foundation was always Christ, because then we can have a lens that's more clear than what the world is throwing at us of like fear all the time. Like, we can just use it as, I don't have to be in fear because there's no fear in love. So knowing that I'm loved in Christ, I can look at my symptom. I can look at what's going on in my body very subjectively, knowing who's in me and who's for me. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And so I think what we might be talking about is like, are you starting from scratch and you've never applied faith to your health? Or are you at a level where you understand that and you can look at it more as a big picture, right? Because if somebody's coming at it without any sort of involvement from God and like not ever considering the faith element, I'm not surprised that people would be operating in fear, you know? So it's definitely one of these things where if you are coming at it from fear, it is a spiritual issue. If you're coming at it from a place of like, I'm not so sure what I need to do, then that's a place where you can use your trust in God and also be
smart.
Unemotional, like logical, right? Because again, we have these amazing brains that we've been gifted, and you can notice patterns. You can kind of like say, like, maybe this is it. And again, not coming from a place of fear, but you know, if you have a stomach ache after eating a meal, I don't want people to be like, oh no, what's going on? I'm dying. Yeah, but I also don't want people to be like, I think there's so many people out there that are just kind of like, oh well, this is just the way that my stomach reacts. And so my feeling is there's a nice happy medium where you can say, oh, I don't feel that great. And this actually happened to me last night. I was eating some ice cream that was like a new brand and a new flavor that I'd never had. And I started to have some like stomach cramping afterwards and some like bathroom issues, like no TMI is bad. TMI doesn't exist for me as a dietitian, but
I was gonna say, I don't care. TMI.
And if people work with me, they know that I'm always talking to them about their poop and that kind of thing. So, but long story short, I wasn't like panicking about, oh no, my stomach's all messed up. Like maybe I'm sick. Maybe all this stuff is happening. It was kind of like, I wonder if that ice cream didn't sit well. Like that's the only thing I ate last night that really was kind of new. And it happened within, you know, 30 minutes of me eating, I was starting to feel a little nauseous or a little weird in my stomach. maybe I want to be careful. If I'm going to eat that ice cream again, I might like eat a little less and see if it causes the same problem. But that's a reaction of like, hey, this might have been an issue. Let me maybe test that, or maybe I won't eat it again. I don't know. Like, you know, just kind of like reacting in a sense of, I don't want to feel that way. That didn't feel good. And it could have just been a fluke, right? It could have just been totally random. I have no idea. I can use my brain to say, might have been the ice cream because that's the thing that was different. If I do eat it again, I'm going to exercise a little caution and just, you know, if it happens again after I eat that, I'll know that that ice cream's not a good fit for me. And there's no drama. It's just, you know, I want people to get to a place where, again, we're not just ignoring our body because we're so spiritual, right? Because I think that can be something that then happens and it's like, okay, but you're not designed to be like, you know, running to the bathroom after every meal, or you're not designed to be
always having a headache every single day,
right? Or being exhausted, or having, you know, 50 pounds of excess weight that's creating joint pain or something. Like, all these things is not part of our design, so I don't think we need to ignore them, but we need to understand that reacting in fear is like any, and that can be applied to anything, right? If we're ever reacting in fear, there's a spiritual component. So I totally agree with you. If somebody has just never even thought about the spiritual component, then that absolutely needs to be where they start. And if they've been applying it and then they're like, okay, and there's other factors, like you said, I haven't eaten in 6 hours. Maybe I need to just eat something if I don't feel good. You know, just being able to get to that level of maturity, I think should be the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I 100%, we cannot keep ignoring things. And I think that's maybe why anxiety is getting higher and the pressure of just the world, go faster, do more, you know, and look a certain way, have the part, which is so easy for us to find in our body versus that subjective knowing who the healer. I mean, if obviously my listeners, most of them, you know, are probably Christ followers, but, you know, just listening to that. And one, I think, you know, we'll kind of wrap this up because I feel like there's so many layers.
Oh yeah.
But I think that one of the biggest layers I've encountered with women since I work with them on such like a deeper spiritual, emotional level is the disassociation they make with their body, so that they can't even basically, their brain doesn't communicate with their body to even tell them this isn't normal, like awareness of it. They are so disconnected from it that they don't even know what's going on. So they just think it is normal, right? Because everybody else around them is normal, or they've experienced so much trauma that caused that disassociation to shove down what they feel and all of that stuff, which I'm sure we could, it's a whole other topic we could
open into.
But I think that's another thing of like even getting to that point of recognizing that it is a symptom. You know, versus that normalizing and being reconnected to your body emotionally so that they can communicate together. I mean, that's like another layer under of even being able to say, my stomach is upset, to even be able to recognize that. So
anyway. Well, and I know, like you said, this could be, honestly, this could be a book. It could definitely be another podcast episode. But the one thing I wanted to mention about that is if we can develop this healthy relationship with our body where we have awareness of our symptoms, we have awareness of how do we feel. Sometimes that's more of an indicator of other areas that you're putting your identity in. So if you're putting your identity in your finances and you're working 60 hours a week to, you know, make the money you want to make because you are, you know, valuing your bank account as being a sign of that's my worth. And again, usually we're not thinking this, right? We're not like, oh, my bank account is where my worth comes from. But like you can start to notice, hey, some of these choices I'm making, some of these behaviors that are creating disruption in my body, they're not because I put my worth in my body. They're because I put my worth in productivity. I put my worth in, you know, even with Christians, sometimes it can be like over serving because they feel like my worth only is demonstrated by how much I help other people. So they're like on 10 different committees and they're like taking their kids to every different small group and they're like, you know, volunteering every weekend and they're running themselves ragged because they're trying to earn their worth by sacrificing, right? And so I think, and again, like I said, totally could be its own episode, but just recognizing that the more healthy our connection with our body is, the more we can start to use those symptoms as evidence that something is not right in our life. And maybe it is too much work, too much like just schedule packing that I think a lot of, especially moms and everything, will get to a place where they just don't know how to say no. And so, like, again, if you're tired, yeah, maybe it was that you needed more sleep, but why didn't you get enough sleep? Maybe it was because you were up too late trying to help with, like, you know, a church thing that maybe you should have said no to or something like that. So, you know, I think in the world of believers, we have this fear of, like, not performing or not saying yes when we're asked to help. And again, this is a conversation that everyone needs to have with God. Nobody can tell a person what's right and what's wrong for them as far as, like, choices go. But I think we get into this situation where even saying no feels like that's sinful in some way. And then that's what creates these health, even anxiety. Like, you know, if you're just running around like a chicken with your head cut off, that's most likely going to create a sense of physical anxiety. And it might be driven by your worth being placed in your performance as a good Christian, in quotes. So again, it totally could be its own episode, but we need to remember that having that connection with our body, God created us to understand, you know, our body's needs, to work with our body, not against it. And I think the body and its symptoms and how it's operating can be a sign of how balanced your life is in general, and where are you putting your worth, and are you, you know, if you're really putting your worth in Christ, what's stopping you from saying no to things? What's stopping you from taking time off? What's stopping you from clearing your kid's schedule a little bit to make time for rest? So anyway, that, like I said, could totally be its own episode, but that's like level three when you've gotten that relationship with your body and you can start to notice, hey, I'm getting really exhausted, or my menstrual cycle's late, so I must be under a lot of stress. Why am I under a lot of stress? Because I'm overstretching myself because my worth is coming from how other people perceive how much of a Christian I am or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Laura, this has been awesome. It's been fun. I feel like we could keep going on back and forth.
For sure.
People that maybe want your services, they know you're a nutrition and you do online coaching. I know that you do online coaching, you have online services. So where do you want people to go to find you that's best?
Yeah, so I would say the best places to get in touch with me would be my website, which is laurashoenfeldrd.com. I have a blog and a podcast and a lot of content that talks about health challenges with the mindset of eliminating fear and trusting God with our lives. So my goal is always to share, because I have all this functional medicine and you know, understanding of all of the practical strategies that can help people with physical symptoms. And I also know there's a ton of fear driving the wellness world right now. So my goal is to share actionable content in a way that helps point people back to God, Jesus, and also helps them feel like they have some action that they can take to experiment with improving their health. So my blog, my podcast are at that website, laurashoenfeldrd.com. And then as far as social media goes, I'm mostly active on Instagram. I feel like anyone who's in their 30s is all about Instagram. So so that's at laurashoenfeldrd.
Yeah, and I'll make sure I have all the links for that so you can just easily click them below. So Laura, thanks again for sharing your wisdom and your insight, and I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jessica.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.